Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. As always, I am the host, Right Reverend Bobby Love. I'm joined by my first co-host in his regular seat, Citizen Neil, Mr. Rooney. How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm good. All good.
Good, he's got to sell a new wee headset and that, folks. If you can't hear him, neither can we.
No, we'll be fine. All good. I can turn Bob's off if anybody wants to request that at any point. Please don't go.
Maybe a good thing after Saturday. I'll not go there. I've got to these notes later on. And of course, our co-host, Mr. Monks, who's been away on a different podcast cheating on us.
I certainly have. Glad to be home, gentlemen. Glad to be home.
Good. Right. Unexpectedly, we've got a few things to talk about. Firstly, obviously, the new managerial appointment. Michael McIndoe has arrived, along with his coaching team of Kirk Crichton, Liam Robertson, anybody else? I think that's it covered now. Obviously, a name that probably wasn't on anybody's radar, but certainly a stellar playing career. Just having a wee look at that earlier on this afternoon, it was like 230 games in the Championship and another 130, 150 ones in League One, Scotland B Cap. Certainly a decent pedigree as a player. But I'll let Rooney discuss it first, go.
Oh, thanks very much. A bit of a shock. Not a shock that we got a new manager, just a shock that we got a name that really no pedigree, no experience, no nothing. You know what I mean? A bolt right out. We've discussed this offline between us. A bolt of, oh, that's an interesting name, sort of thing, but it's never been anywhere. Out of the goldfish bowl is probably the best way to describe it, but I know I've had a short spell like that now, but yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Ali?
Yeah, kind of, I suppose, broadly similar. I mean, it's whenever there's a change of manager in the lower leagues, it's not, you don't have a daily record running articles of, like, you know, the top seven candidates and all this kind of stuff. So there is a, you know, you do get names you weren't expecting. But yeah, this one, not at all. Like, I mean, I remember him from a couple of Scotland B caps. I can remember him from Football Manager. But yeah, not a name that I would have considered at all. And, you know, I think he'd played maybe a dozen games up in Scotland or something like that. I think he'd maybe at Clyde Bank and Stirling Albion, just on like kind of short-term deals and things. So yeah, total bolt from the blue. Total surprise, but very quickly we found out what he was all about. So there wasn't much subtlety when he came into the club with his early interviews and his early kind of proclamations, which is, you know, a big change from probably where we were under Alan Mabry. But yeah, certainly made a. If we didn't know who he was a month or so ago, we certainly know who he is now.
Yes, I must say, obviously, he's had a couple of interviews, especially the ones online. I met him at Winchborough, which I'll talk about slightly later on as part of my fan rep role. I do quite like the cut of his jib. I think he comes across quite well. Very confident in his abilities, which I don't think is a bad thing. He certainly comes across as someone who's a bit more upfront, possibly, than the last manager. I think Alan's thing was he could be quite quiet and a bit passive, and maybe almost let Mark Kerr do quite a lot of the shouting, whereas I think Michael's right at the forefront. The one thing I've noticed in the three games he's had in charge is he's pretty much at the edge of the technical area constantly. Not necessarily barking at the players, but at least he's there and he's visible, and he's kind of got instructions where you need it. You could obviously see his passion on Saturday when he's chucking, he's caught up at the dugout. But no, I think he's come across really well so far. He's obviously going to have high standards. You know what I mean? I think he's, the manager at the minute is outwork everybody, and we could probably see that in the previous game against Dannon. There was parts of that at Hamilton, I've got to be said, I thought we were very well worth our point, against a team who are undefeated and one of the best teams in the division. Saturday, we'll maybe talk about later on. We at least said about that game the better. But no, yes, I think there's standards there that the players are going to have to follow. And if you're not going to, I think it was very clear on Saturday, if you're not going to come close to those standards, then you're going to have to rethink your position in the team.
And I think what's different about him is than a lot of lower league managers is he comes with a very defined style of play and a very like specific demand of what he's going to want from his players, which isn't always the case. And like you'll have managers who have certain styles of play, but it feels much more that, you know, the fashion for modern coaches in the higher echelons is like, we'll have a certain style of play and this is my style of play and that's it. Like you have to adhere to it. Don't often get that in the lower leagues because for the simple reason it's much harder to implement because they're part-time players. Much more turnover squads, all that kind of stuff. But it's very rarely you see, other than Jim Duffy's commitment to hoofing the ball into the centre of the sun every time one of his centre halves has it. Like that's it, you don't really get that. So it will be absolutely fascinating to see how that works out. To the demands he's putting on part-time players, because he's not come from a part-time environment. I know he obviously has, had a stint at the kind of reformed Gretna, but you know his playing career is all at, as we said, at a really, really good level. So it will be interesting to see how that translates to part-time players, and he will have to, because you know, do you work on their fitness or do you work on their tactical understanding if you've got them two nights a week and have been at their work and things like that. So for years and years and years, as long as there's been part-time football, managers have focused on probably one of those two, I would have said, broadly focused within one of those two because of the really short time that they actually have players in front of them. So his communication, which is obviously crystal clear, you can tell that from his interviews, will have to be really good. His coaching staff will have to be really good. So that will be fascinating to see how that transpires, and if we can get close to the kind of level of performance that he's demanding, I think will be really interesting.
Really?
No, I totally agree. You know, you've got to give the guy a chance. We're not saying we're not giving him a chance. His interviews have been very, very blunt and very straight to the point. Very much as Ali says, you know, we heard Mabry talk about in the Q&A at the start of the year about this is what you would do full time and then cutting back on certain things. I hope he can realise that very, very quickly, that he has to cut back on certain things or, you know, reduce in size of what he has to do when he's managing, because Ali says, and we've all seen it, he has a very, very specific style of play and how he wants to play. And it's hard for guys to do it when they're doing full time, you know, to sustain that.
Mm.
You know, it might change, you know, if we can get a few results and get a few other boys in January that might suit his style. Fair enough, but at the moment it's kind of, it seems big bang. Hopefully it works. Take it from there, you know, you've seen it working, you've seen it not work at teams if it goes big bang, you know, when you guys have went in and they change it straight away, a big change is straight away. So I can only hope that I tend to agree with Ali, it's very, going to be very high intense and high pressing, and if these guys have been working all week and, you know, sitting on the backside for most of the week, some of them have been building sites and doing, you know, physical jobs, it's going to be tough. It'll be tough. So we'll see how well he manages to manage that balance, so to speak.
Aye. I suppose what he's going to have to do is kind of trust these players to do work outside of the two training sessions on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I think like obviously maybe he was clear in the Q&A that they'll have their own plans and things like that as well. And I know James McDonough had mentioned it previously that there's certain plans that they had to work on when he didn't have them at training and things like that. So I'm assuming Michael's going to be much the same, whether it's going to be slightly higher intensity than maybe some of the previous managers, I guess remains to be seen. But I mean, as I say, I think he comes across well. I don't think, speaking to him, he's quite keen on, you know, developing the 20s and bringing them through. And there was almost a kind of director of football kind of hat on the way he was speaking. Don't want to break too much of it, I guess. But there was more of a kind of, he's got a vision for the club, is probably the best way to put it. And I think that seems obvious in his interviews, and his interview, leaving the news with Neil McGlade as well. There's an idea of what he wants for the football club, and that doesn't start and finish with the men's team. You know, there's a development, there's a path. It won't just be the men. It'll be the 20s. It'll be the women. It'll eventually be these new academies that the club have spoken about that they're going to bring in and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's going to be, on the face of it, it's quite an exciting appointment. I think so far it's quite exciting watching it. You know what I mean? But it's just completely different to what we had for the last year, I suppose, or the last 6 months to 9 months of football. It's a massive culture change, and even on the part. So, yep, quite excited for that. Next, just want to do a wee bit on the last couple of games, perhaps, or not.
As well.
Who wants to go first? Don't all jump in at once, boys.
Where do we start from? Where do you want to start from?
I suppose the easiest way would be Hamilton, unless you want to cover like Maybury's exit. Well, we kind of done that last game.
Exactly.
Right, we'll go for Michael's first game, which was Hamilton.
Hamilton was a good reaction, good point. I know you were there. It looked like you could have probably snatched three. A wee bit more in the front foot, just a wee bit more direct. Maybe guys playing in the right roles. You know, not trying to just get people into the team, and certainly looked a wee bit more, gelled in the first week. So, yeah. And then second week, when Ali and I nearly, I don't know, if, I think the two of us were close to having a heart attack, never mind just one of us, right? But probably everybody was close to, you know, 3-2, but done so well, and then you can tell, like we're talking about the press, and they're playing high tempo, you can tell the guys just got tired. You know, started to go that wee bit deeper, but obviously a wee bit in the back of your mind going first result, first win. So I think we've done really, really well there. I'll let Ali comment on those two before we move on to...
We'll maybe cover the flame two first before we get digging at Montrose.
Yeah, so like the first two games, you can't really ask for much more. A point away at the league leaders, or were the league leaders until we got that point. Like a really good performance in terms of, like, you know, well drilled, much more aggressive, which we've been talking about. All of us have talked about. Everyone who's watched the club in the last however long has talked about a need for increased aggression. Which we saw there. A point away at Hamilton is a tremendous point when you think how easily they put us away when they came to Meadowbank. It was a non-event essentially in terms of how comfortable they were up against us. And then on to the Annan game, and you know, I was totally confident we were going to win the game before it. I was like, we will. There's no doubt in my mind we're going to win this game. And then people told me that Ryan Shanley was suspended for it, and I was starting to flap a little bit. But I don't think it was like the best performance ever. And I don't think in terms of performance, it was like light years ahead of some of the stuff that we had under Maybury, but just a few things went our way, which hadn't happened. But you know, that happens when you're more proactive, when you're more on the front foot. I think you're more likely to get the break of the ball, more likely for things to go your way. We did see little glimpses of the quality of the team. The Robbie Leach's goal from Innes' break, it was just exceptional. Just a brilliant goal. Everything you want, you know, speed, athleticism, composure from both players. The timing was perfect. Everything, just like an absolutely superb goal. And then just hanging on at the end. I mean, really, really, really hanging on, and not being able to get the ball up the park, not being able to hold the ball up, just pressure coming, and then the block from Lee Hamilton at the end was extraordinary, and it's not the first time he's done that. His highlight reel of blocks this season must be absolutely incredible, and you know, it was no matter what happens this season, and I think I said this either on the WhatsApp or on Pine Bubble, I can't remember. But we'll always have, you know, pantomime villain Aidan Smith kind of giving the fans a bit, and then being directly at fault for two of our goals, and then being told that vociferously by the crowd and the stag do that was up as well. So it's the joys of lower league football. When you want to have a go at someone, you know they're going to hear you. And Aidan Smith, and he's a good player. Like he's a decent player, and he's a tremendous wind up merchant. I actually don't the booking for diving. I actually don't think he did. I don't think he did dive on that occasion, but
no.
He's made up for the other ones when he did.
Yeah, did well. I did exactly. It's all balanced out. But look, it was a great victory. A really, really enjoyable, really entertaining game. I think as Rooney says, absolutely right. The players kind of run out of puff and run out of steam. But you know, to hold on, it was such a great feeling for everyone, and the players really did deserve it. And you know, vindication from the manager and his approach, and obviously brought us, you know, pretty close to Annan at the bottom of the table. I know that start has been horrendous, as everyone's well aware. But I did say on the other podcast I was on, it doesn't mean that we need a miracle to stay up, because we're still not actually that far behind, really. And we can go on a run, and other teams can struggle and things like that. So but it was a huge win. And gave us lots of confidence going into the Montrose game. It didn't quite go as well.
Aye. As you say, I was at Hamilton. It was one of those things you could almost see direct for the kickoff that things were different. Just the way it was kind of lined up, the way they immediately kind of started running, the way they were moving into space and all that kind of stuff. It looked different from the start. And yes, Hamilton scored early, and yes, they were a wee bit on top, but we did have some chances in that first half where we could have scored. You know, Robbie Mam was close a couple of times, Kevin Offer third one. I think this is a shot for the edge of the box that generally you would think he would do better with. Well, look, to begin with, first 20 minutes, we thought, oh, we're going to get caught in the break a couple of times here. But they kind of stuck out. Second half, Shanley's got his goal. We played some really good spells of football, actually, in the second half, to the fact that the Accies fans were booing their own team from about 65 minutes onwards and then started complaining when we were celebrating a point. It's like, well, take your pick, boys. Weirdos. And they're on to pies at half time. Couldn't even get a pie, man.
Dear.
Shocking. Absolutely.
Priorities, Robert.
Priorities. I know, exactly. To be fair, we did get a car parking space, eh? So, swings and roundabouts. anyway, so, and like, when you're just, I'm not going to say much about Anna, just what you guys have already said, but I can remember, like, we were standing next to each other, Ali, and at 65 minutes, it was like the watch, like, how long's to go? Half an hour, and it's like, right, how long's to go now? We've only played another 5 minutes. Come on, hurry up! Right, like, those last 20 minutes are like the longest 20 minutes I've had at football in a long time, eh? Yeah. But no, we deserved to win. You could tell for the start, you know, we kind of went for it. Annan were just being Annan, I guess. Aidan Smith was being Aidan Smith. He's a wee rat, but he's a pantomime rat. I thought it was quite funny about that stag day because they were getting involved as well.
Yeah.
I was like, they'd enjoyed their day at the Belfield. Me and Rooney had been looking after them over at the Belfield, and they came in, and then immediately they just took them like everybody else had. It was the one when he went back and he's all giving it, can I, all this, can I, oh, look at you, can I, blah, blah, blah. And then immediately after third goal, after it was his fault, was it the penalty? Was it one of the goals? It was one of the goals he caused.
Yeah, he gave it away twice. So he caused two of our goals.
And then everybody's like, oh, you're not talking now, Smith. You're not talking now. He just turned away from us. He's like, I get up. just hanging on to the end, hanging on. You know what they're going to be like. They're just going to pump in high boxes to that big galoot up front, man. And that's all he does. And I mean, he's good at it. Let's get him out. Don't get me wrong. And for what Tommy Goss does, he's a handy player. But aye. So yeah, did really well the first two games. Brought crashing back to earth. There's no other way to put it after Saturday. How shall we go with this one? I'll maybe have a wee go first. The two goals we lost early doors really put us on the back foot, and they were poor goals to lose, and I think they knew that anyway. I thought after that shocking decision for the referee when Spence got taken out, and then Callum Crane had that wee to-do with the Montrose player that ran to push him, and I was like, you're a fucking wrong player to start pushing their boots on. That kind of galvanised us a little bit. Kind of went, oh, Christ, we're in a game here. And then we played really well for maybe the last 20 minutes of the first half. second half he came out and it was still a wee bit eeksy peeksy until the penalty came, which wasn't a penalty. For those that maybe have seen the highlights very briefly, it wasn't a penalty. We did get fouled first, and Aidan McAdams was on his line when he saved it. Now, we weren't very good. We probably didn't really deserve much out of the game, but that decision certainly turned the game again, because then we're 3-1 down rather than 2-1 down. We're having to chase it a bit more. The fourth goal is just a shambles of all sorts, back to front, let's be fair. And the fifth goal as well, the fifth goal. I mean, we had Liam Fontaine at left wing, for Christ's sake. Might as well go for it. Do you know what? Everybody's like, I think some folk were like, oh, what's he doing? Why is he going for it and all that kind of stuff? Well, what difference does it make? We're not going to go down on goal difference. I think goal difference, when was the last time goal difference was used to decide to go up, go down, or win a league? Was it Hearts back in the 60s, maybe?
You've called it, mate. You know
what's happening now. I mean, I know. That's what's going to go down by a goal or something. But do you know what I mean? Well, to be fair, I have said it before on here, so it's not like that. I mean, it's just, it's such a rare occurrence. If that was to happen, we'd be pretty unlucky, let's be honest. There wasn't a huge amount of positives to take on Saturday after 3-1, anyway. Ali, you can have a wee pop at this one, because I know you're itching to talk about Sunday.
No, I mean, I suppose, first of all, on that, a couple of points first is that Montrose are a good side.
Yes.
And I think that's, we've talked before about the strength of the division. That is a good part-time team. There's no two ways about it. A couple of young centre-half I thought was excellent. The boy, I think, must have scored the fourth goal. I think he's on loan from Dundee United. He was tremendous as well. But they are a good physical. I mean, Kane Hester is scores against us every single time. He's Shane Sutherland essentially.
Yes,
exactly the same. May as well be the same person. But just a really, really good part time team. Probably the best Montrose side I can remember seeing. Well, certainly since we came up, and they'll be competitive into the playoffs this year. So, you're up against a good side. As you say, we gave away a couple of daft goals. I think on the manager, his post match after the Annan game, he did say, the days of people coming to the capital and getting an easy 3 points, those days are over. Well, they're not over, because that was pretty easy for Montrose, and he's just got to maybe understand some of the quality in this division, and actually you can get punished if you leave yourself too open. And they are, even at 2 months and 3 or whatever, their big right back was just strolling through, like he looking for someone to pass to. He didn't have a clue what to do, but he just, breezed past a couple of players and was in loads of space, and that happened numerous times. But look, it was
no coincidence. It was at a time that Callum Crane was substituted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. When that kind of space come, but you can get punished pretty severely by good players, and then. I think that the fourth goal did bother me probably more than you've talked about the penalty, and I agree with what you've said and the impact it had on the game. The fourth goal bothered me a bit more, to be honest with you. I thought it was just a nonsense goal to concede. The ball clipped up to Russell McLean, no one near him, absolutely no one near him, in front or behind, and he just totally misjudges the ball. Like, he just runs underneath it, misses it entirely. It breaks. They start breaking up the park. I don't think Kieran McDonald worked hard enough to get back, if I'm honest with you. Or he kind of seemed to jog along the player. He was outside the box with him, and it was 10 or 15 yards alongside him. For me, he could have fouled him or done something and made it more difficult. But the manager came out post-match and was very, very scathing of a handful of individuals. Didn't name any names. But for that fourth goal, from where I stood, there was a couple of players who, to me, have to do better. We talked about finishing with three up front, two of them are centre-halves, but probably Fontaine did a better job of holding the ball up than McLean did. And that's not just this game, that's happened previously as well, where McLean has really struggled to hold on to the ball, and maybe that's not his game. Maybe his game is being kind of more a Blair Henderson-type player in and around the box, getting cutbacks to him and all that kind of stuff. But that's not but we don't use him that way. We try and use him as a target man, obviously because of his size, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. But yeah, the fourth goal annoyed me, I have to say. It really did. But I suppose the manager was annoyed as well when you listened to his post-match interview. The first post-match interview my wife has ever listened to, I said, listen to this, you'll enjoy this. And she did enjoy it because it was hugely entertaining and certainly the best part of the whole day, I would suggest.
Really?
I mean, I don't want to over too much old ground, but I think if we look at them, when they, like Ali said, don't come to Edinburgh now and get easy points. I was looking for the quote when we were talking. It's like Keegan, one of Keegan's old quotes. I know what is around the corner. I just don't know where the corner is. It's kind of a bit like that,
yeah,
to be honest. I think as well, the days, more than either, everything's on social media. You know, everybody would have heard that nobody goes to Edinburgh for easy points. I'm very much an action speak louder than words person, to be brutally honest. So, although we had a good result, we won the other week, I think if we didn't appreciate the magnitude of the task at hand,
yeah.
And I agree with Ali, and I agree with comments on going, look, we're only so many points off the playoffs. I was trying to say that to folk at the weekend, going, like, teams are on 14 points, we're on 6. You know, it's not a lot. But the longer it goes on, the longer it's difficult. I fully appreciate. You can tell there's something fundamentally wrong in that squad, though. And there's good eggs and there's bad eggs. And if folk don't want to be there, folk need to go and admit they don't want to be there and go. If folk aren't up for the fight, then go, thanks very much. You know, I'm all for if somebody has a bad game, that's life, we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
But then they just down tools. Then they just not try. I think that's just shocking. And like we've torn into Kieran McDonald several times this season and what he's done. I was probably more in red mist at what he done to completely ignore what Russell McLean had done. So I'm glad Ali picked it up. When he gives the boy a head start, you know, McDonald's 2 yards in front of the guy and the boy's just like, thanks very much, and he just kept jogging. He's not even trying to tackle, he's not even trying to put a foot in. You know, we can't blame him for it because it was a horrendous performance, but that just, in a nutshell, that just epitomises everything that's wrong with the team at the moment.
Yep.
Because you've maybe got so many of them that are rolling their sleeves up and care. And you've got a lot that are not. And whether it's 3 or 4, you can't have that in your team. It's a bare minimum. Everybody has to go and try and run through a brick wall. And I get it. You can tell some of the guys are doing it. And you know, prime example is Callum Green every week at the moment. I'm sure there are others. But Greeny's running through a brick wall every week. Lee Hamilton's putting himself into position every week to, you know, to be fair to Mercer, when he's come back in, he's done the best he can. You know, he's done well when he's come back in, probably been rushed back too quick, but needs must. You know, all hands to the pump, as they say. We need guys like that at the moment, and I think there's too many guys that are up for the fight. There's a lot of quality in that squad. Lewis Spence has played really well. We've probably seen more out of Robbie Leach in the last few weeks than we've.
Oh, it's been fantastic.
You know, than we've seen. But this was an S, but you need everybody to be at it, everybody pulling on. You know, everybody has to be at it. You can't, if he's going to play this high press game, or he's going to, you know, play this high tempo, everybody has to do it. If every one person doesn't do it, or two people don't do it, then you're snookered. You know, you really are. That's how you get caught out. And I think the magnitude of what he's doing at the moment, he should realise. And I think that, like we said this at the weekend, I think the wee boy offered needs a cuddle. He needs somebody to put an arm around him and go, look, son, these things happen. But to the same token, look, I've watched the other team on the other side of the city for many, many years, and we've had young boys playing, and they've been the next best thing, and it's ruined their career. You know, sometimes you need taking out the firing line as well. I'm not saying he's played bad, I'm not saying he's not trying, from what we've seen he's trying, but he needs to take out the firing line.
I think like Ali, like we spoke about in their own group chat, that miss at Coles maybe affected Kieran a wee bit.
Yeah.
He's obviously playing the position he's not necessarily used to out in the left, but he definitely looks like someone that just needs somebody to put an arm around him at this point in time. And even if that means, like, I'll go take you for a couple of games just to let you kind of recalibrate and kind of get yourself back, maybe bring you on the last 20 minutes for Shanley or something like that, we can put you through the middle and see how you go. Maybe that's exactly what he needs right now. In terms of the rest of the squad, I mean, what you say is probably right, Rooney. I mean, Michael was very clear. He pretty much said exactly what you've just said, and slightly more diplomatic language, I guess. But he was very clear in saying, look, there's boys here that are only doing it, and if you're not going to be here, your place in the squad's essentially up for grabs. And that's pretty much what he said in the interview. And to be honest, he said that in all his interviews. If you're not going to be up for it, then, well, there you go.
But to be fair, I know we are singling out two guys. There might be more.
Aye, so you round it off. I mean, obviously, you said that. Michael said what he said in his interview as well. I mean, I know it'll sound like we're picking on players, I guess, but people do have two eyes and two ears. I mean, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist at this point in time to look at the squad and go where the weaknesses are in the squad. January is not terribly far away, it must be said. I don't know if he's obviously got ideas for how he wants to shape the squad, especially if he wants to shape it in the way we're going to be playing. He's going to be needing probably alternative players to what we've got in some areas. So it'll probably be interesting for him. I'm suspect he's already got a wee list. He seems like he's a well-prepared chap. Certainly from discussions and whatnot, he looks like he knows what he wants to do, but whether he's able to do that in January and whether there's a budget there, I guess is another matter. So that kind of rounds up a wee bit about games and players and all that gear. I suppose I'll have a wee chat about me going to Winchboro, seeing it was meant to be in the programme on Saturday and it's nowhere to be seen. printing problems, I do believe. So what it was is I had said in the programme that the time you'd read that I would have been finally out to Winchboro for a wee tour of the new training complex. So it's something that the rest of the board were keen for me to do, just to kind of go and have a wee look and then report back either through the programme or via this. Obviously I've told some of the guys what it was like, so it's easier for me to do it here for the wider support, I suppose. I must say I was very impressed by the facilities. There's two full-size football pitches. One doubles up as like a rugby pitch, and obviously you can split up into like 3 sevens pitches and all this kind of gear. It looks well-maintained, it must be said, compared to the state of the pitch at Meadowbank. It looks like night and day. The facilities inside look a lot... I know it's a newer facility, but it's not massively new compared to Meadowbank. We're only talking a matter of months. So there was like decent looking changing room, a number of kind of gym sports halls, there's a swimming pool in there, there's a normal kind of gym as well that all the players have got use of if they need to. So it was good to go and see. I think it certainly looks a lot better than the facilities at Meadowbank, it must be said. But well, I'm not exactly an athlete, so that's up to them. I would say by observation, it looks a lot better. And obviously the massive difference in price to what they paid that white elephant down the road there.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Winchboro doesn't have rain coming through the roof.
Yeah.
Is that 40-odd million for... Jesus, 40-odd million for Meadowbank. They've already got water coming through the roof. I'm looking forward to that. Well, here you go. I'm looking forward to it when I go for the snooker. There's Ronan Sullivan going for a 147 and starts raining. See, there's something. what's that? Oh, I've chucked my cue away. What for? I can feel rain in my head. Anyway, sorry. But yes, it was good. It was good to meet Michael and his coaching staff. They were very welcoming. Michael is quite an impressive guy, I thought, just in terms of speaking to him. As I say, he's very clear on what he wants for the club, how he's got his vision for the club. His coaching staff have all kind of got that. The players seem quite intent on listening to him too. So I thought it was quite impressive, to be honest. Hopefully that can kind of continue. Hopefully we can, it kind of works. I think obviously things are positive at the minute, apart from that aberration on Saturday. Was it totally bad on Saturday? There was that 20-minute spell. but right at the front, we pan into the fire. There we go, Falkirk on Saturday. But
yeah,
although we did win there last year, and we got a point off of Hamilton, so maybe there's something in that. But I know to get back. Yeah, he was, as I say, he was welcoming. It wasn't he one of these when he was talking about football. You sometimes get guys who are football men who talk down to you or kind of talk at you and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't really like that at all. Kind of asked their opinion, how's it been for the fans for the last couple of games and all that, and I told them, and so it was good. It was a good, decent exchange of views and viewpoints and all that stuff. So yeah, I was quite impressed with him. I was quite impressed with facilities. So in terms of me obviously reporting as my fan rep role, it was good to see. I don't think we're in any kind of real trouble with the facilities. They seem quite welcome to have us. The 20s were training there at the same time as were the women. So it's all this kind of same times, the same nights. So I don't know if there's going to be a wee bit of coaching between all three teams at the same time. So yeah, no, good. Happy to do it. I don't know if I'll get to go back again, but I might maybe just invite myself. Hiya, John. Can I get a lift again? Or Mr. Chairman, as he was called on Thursday. So yeah. So if anybody had any kind of issues maybe about us moving from Meadowbank and being in Edinburgh and moving out to Winchborough, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere, I would say your fears are assuaged by what I saw. It was certainly an impressive looking facility. And as I say, I was far more impressed with Winchborough than I was with Meadowbank. Obviously Meadowbank's slightly bigger in terms of scale because you've got the bigger sports centre, but I think the Winchborough, like the school's attached to the leisure centre and all that kind of stuff at Winchborough as well, so they're obviously going to get use of it. No, it was pretty impressive, it must be said. So I think that's a good choice by the club for moving there. And you want to ask before we move on?
No, it's good. I'm glad it's obviously they were. Yeah, sorry, they're obviously Meadowbank is what it is. You know, the gym is good at Meadowbank and things, but it's busy. It's not really set up for a football team to be there. I think, you know, it just hasn't worked at all. There's, you know, the Edinburgh City, Edinburgh Leisure partnership at Meadowbank, it just hasn't worked. And yeah, if Winchborough is cheaper and better for it, and location's probably all right for a lot of the players, to be honest. So yeah, it's not that, you know, to get to Meadowbank, you do have to come into the city. So maybe it's probably not a huge deal for players travelling. But no, good to hear. That's in good shape.
Yep. Rooney?
No, all good. Sounds good to me. Well, yes. happy with it if it's good facilities and everything like that. But either way, the white elephant, as you say, it's in the road.
Aye. I think the one thing I was really struck by was just how well maintained the pitches look compared to Meadowbank. Because like when you Meadowbank, you don't necessarily see it from the stand, but see when you go upstairs and you get that view down onto the pitch, you can just see how poorly maintained it is. Like the goal mouths look like the middle of winter on a grass pitch. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like it's. I don't know what you'd necessarily do with an artificial pitch if you sweep it or if you whatever you do with it. But it just has. It very clearly looks like it's not being maintained properly.
Yeah, you have to spread the pellets around. That has to be done on a regular basis. Otherwise, they just collect in certain areas. Like, and the goal mouth might be one. But you know, that's just the nature of it. So it does have to be regularly swept to make sure that the distribution of the wee rubber pellets is even. And if that's not in the middle bank, then yeah, that will definitely affect that. That'll definitely affect the surface.
Yeah. Okay. Right. That's that. Well, should we move on? Bit of 20s action and all that as well. They were, until last week, obviously, top of the league. Game got postponed for whatever reason that may be. I don't know. They do have two games in hand on certain teams who will not be named. So they've got a good chance of going top on Friday if results go their way. We are playing Bonnie Rose. Is that right? It was a Rosie Posey we've got on Friday.
Correct.
So it'd be great if people could get down Rooney, you were saying the last game had a fairly big crowd. They do play a really good brand of football once they can sometimes get going. I think they're a wee bit slow starters until whatever Adam says in the changing room. Well, I don't know what he does. He's a type of laddie, right? So obviously I've met Adam a couple of times. He doesn't seem like the laddie is going to go through and jump and swear at you and all that kind of stuff. But whatever he does at half time, they come out in the second half like an entirely different team, eh?
It does, it's incredible, right?
But as it is, I mean, you're obviously going to see quite a lot. I think you're going to see some of them popping up in the first team over the next few weeks. Obviously, Gornradin, Kai McNamara played against Annan. I thought Kai in particular had a very good game when he came on. He was good for kind of running the channels, hassling defenders, hassling forwards. Gornrad, we all know what I think of him. I'm not going to keep repeating myself. I'm still don't know why he's not got his 10-year deal yet, Mr. Chairman. but there's other guys, obviously there's other guys in the fringes of the squad as well, I think. Lisa Elijah and all that kind of stuff had first team action previously. So the future looks good under this crop. I think for the majority we're going to get a good 2 or 3 years out of them still.
Yeah.
They're playing well, obviously. You're at the top of the league for a reason. Results don't lie, I guess. Yeah. I know they've maybe scraped a couple. But if you're top of the league, you're top of the league.
It's kind of getting through. It's going to be that cycle, isn't it, where you get a lot of them for 2 or 3 years and then they just, you go back to square one sort of thing again. So, yeah. But no, I've only watched them once this year. The other week when they were totally 2-0 down, they come back and 1-3-2. Just like, wow. It's just, as Bob says, whatever Adam says at half time, maybe he needs to stay at the start of the game. I don't know if it works that way. I don't know if it will work that way. But it seems to do the trick, and it was like a completely different team in the second half. So, yeah, good point.
Aye. So that's that. It'd be great to have people going down to watch them. It's free entry. You just kind of wander along and go in the middle doors and say you're there to watch the football. They just let you in. So even if you just fancy going skiving yourself in the gym for a couple of hours, just say you're going to watch Edinburgh City, that should be all right. I'm not kidding, by the way. You just walk up going at me for the football. Why didn't you go? Why? I need a pass right then. Well, I did get my club. I finally got my club lanyard. So,
to be fair, to get into the gym and all the other places, you need a pass. So,
but my club lanyard work?
No, it won't work for a while. Don't use that as an excuse, though, if you want to go.
aye. So that's the 20s. The women haven't had too many games, I don't think, since we last spoke. They are kind of hampered by injuries quite severely at this point in time, as you can probably see by some of the results. Went along a couple of weeks ago. It was just one of these games where everything could go wrong, went wrong, I think. Played a couple of games away, have they quite went our way, I thought. I don't know what the problem is, really.
I think it's very, from watching them, watching by Andy, one of the board guys, one of the games, and they brought on a trialist. An old City connection. Our dad used to be the old sponge man. So Rebecca Murray, and looked really good, but also really young, which I think it's going to be like the 20s. There's a lot of really good players there, technically. I think a lot of them are really young. But what the guys were actually saying was that if I picked them up, right, there's no relegation this year because there's going to be a restructure. So they're kind of getting a bit of a free hit, which is good for them. But some of them, you can tell just some of them are really young, and it's maybe just a step up. Not too quick, but you know, you've got to learn quickly, so to speak. So. But again, late 20s, play a good brand of football. So,
I mean, the one thing I will say is obviously, I know the results haven't looked particularly great, but that squad was absolutely gutted at the end of the season. You know what I mean? The team that came up that was undefeated got absolutely, like, they were absolutely gutted. Like, they all disappeared to other clubs or followed the previous manager. So, there's no been that, like, maybe what we've had for the last couple of seasons where there's been a nucleus that have stayed for quite a long time.
Yeah,
like being together and all that kind of stuff. We've not really got that. There's only maybe two or three that were there last year that I can, off the top of my head. And they've just tried to kind of add to that, and it's just as you say, it's quite a lot of young players and hampered by injuries, and just I think some of them have just been unlucky injuries and things like that as well. So it's just one of those things. But again, most Sundays, folks, there is a small charge now, £4, unless you're a member or a season ticket holder, where you will get them for free. I would still encourage people to go. It'd be good to get them support. As we say, much like the 20s, they appreciate as much support as you can get. There is more to this football club than the men's team. So we do have the other two teams and hopefully another couple of teams soon on the horizon, judging by some of the, I think some of the comments the chairman made in his programme and all that kind of stuff. So, yep, that's about that. Is there anything else you want to discuss, chaps? Any rants? Ali's got one. I can see it. He's close.
He's still waiting for his signed photo of Uzi, but you know, I don't know what's more likely. So
what exactly is going on with Houdini?
You tell us.
Who knows?
Wait, when is his latest charity match?
I don't know. Who knows?
The thing is, we could have really done with him. I mentioned a couple of times about an inability to hold the ball up, and no matter what folk think about it, you could get the ball up to him and he would link up, or he would hold up, or he would run a channel up, you know, and he would give you a presence up front, which we, unless Ryan Shanley is playing, and you know, Shanley's, you know, suspended and maybe isn't as fit as he would like, or as people would like, we could have done with it. Absolutely would have made a huge difference to our season. I don't follow on Instagram, so I don't know who. What you're up to.
There's a vicious rumor going about in the pre match, post match pint chat, Ali, that you were up in Perth at your celebrity do, you know, in the nightclub, having a celebrity appearance, and you were at the front of the queue. Can you confirm or deny these reports?
I can confirm that my days of nightclubbing in Perth are very much over.
So just in Perth, club in general.
Not in general as well, yeah, in general. Specifically Perth. I can't actually remember the name of the nightclub in Perth, but it was rough as fuck.
My dad's going to listen to this. You better watch. You better watch what you say about his hometown.
Well, that's Perth is where the Moncriefs hail from. That's our.
What was it?
There's a Moncrief Island. If you ever want, I think there's a golf course on it actually.
Is there?
So, there you go.
But I suppose Crieff is quite close, I guess.
That's true. But nothing to particularly moan about, other than, look, you know, we called it a couple of players earlier, as you said. But the reason we're kind of doing that is the manager has, in his post match, has made it very clear that our players he's unhappy with. Yeah. You know, we're just seeing what we see. From it, I've said to you, both of you have said online as well, I think I don't have a problem with the manager doing it, but he just needs to be careful that he gets the right reaction he's looking for, because it is a small squad. We do have to get to January still in touch. You may need to rely on some of these players, so if you've right. cut players off, but that's the call the manager makes. It's up to him if he thinks that. I don't think he said it in a bit of rage or anything like that. I think it was quite calculated. No. He must fancy the reaction for it. Anything else, I guess? Been a bit better having the kind of season ticket holders sitting together over the last few games. It still needs a bit of tweaking to make sure that works, but it has been nice to have folks sitting back together again, which has been good. You know, we all know the challenges with Meadow Bank, but if you can get folk together, it's decent. And, you know, it was good to see the feedback as well from the Stag Do that was up, the boys from Sheffield. Seemed to enjoy themselves, which was excellent. That, you know, that reflects really well on the club, and you know, as an important source of kind of income and stuff to attract these types of things. So great that the Belfield worked out really well for them. And you know, the fact that they get to the crossbar challenge, the boy doing the lap of the slowest lap of the track, I think it has ever been seen in the short history of Meadow Bank. But even if you go back to the previous versions, I don't think anyone have done a 400 metres slower than that boy, but fair play to him for
never saw me in high school, Ali.
Oh, that's true, to be fair.
And
then the very, very final thing was, we didn't touch it in the Montrose game, but by the very, very low standards of refereeing that we have in lower league Scottish football, I think that might be the worst. I really do. And I'm not saying it didn't cost us the game or anything like that. I think we got a couple of free kicks, and I'm like, how on earth have we got that decision? You know, just he decisions wrong, which is obviously a very part of it, but just a total inability to manage the game at all. Just absolutely horrendous. I mean, really, like, everyone moans about referees and things like that, but that was just, you know, he's just not cut out for it. It's just he's got to think about what he's doing with his life, because he can't be a referee.
And to share with everybody, we've got the same ref on Saturday against Falkirk.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I asked a chum of mine who is in the game. I says, when was the last time you had the same ref two in a row for league matches? He says, I can't remember. She says, it's really unusual.
Well, rumour has it that apparently he was getting assessed on Saturday.
There's his reward. He gets the full time team.
So he gets the full time team. So I mean, the stand side, sorry, but he was bad. The stand side, the boy on the other side seemed to actually be able to use his flag and know what it was for. The boy on the stand side just seemed to just walk up and down the touchline. And I don't know if he thought it was for, like, I don't know if he can use it in one of these Olympic sports that they do on the mat and the gymnasts, you know, like when they twirl it about in that. I don't know if he thought it was for that, because he never used it for anything football related. So, I mean, it must be a nice side hustle, because you can't do that full time, eh? I wouldn't mind just standing in the middle for 90 minutes, walking up and doing with a flag, doing nothing with it. Must be a nice side hustle.
I mean, the one thing I'll say, and we're all pretty vocal guys when it comes to it, but the one
thing we've known...
Hold on, wait until I'm finished.
Don't tar me and Ali with the same brushes.
You shut your mouth. If anybody's ever seen a Wonky special when he loses it, you'll know exactly what I mean. The one thing we've never really done in the podcast is dig out referees. Right?
Yeah.
We've maybe had a wee pop at one. Oh, that was a bad one. The guy on Saturday was dreadful. Horrible. Right, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was so bad that there was like a stag dude just along from us. I think they were German or Dutch or something like that.
Even they
were having a go at the referee, and they've got nothing to do with the football club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was getting the cheap shouts for the stand, and we're not a club that does that. I generally can't remember the last time Edinburgh City support did that. Right, so that would give me an idea of how dismally poor he was. But as you say, Ali, it wasn't just decisions against us, it was some of the ones he was giving for us, and you're like, what are you doing? Sometimes the standard in the lower leagues, and some will say, oh, it's because of VAR and all that kind of stuff. That's the excuse, right? You can either referee or you can't, or maybe it's just who they're promoting isn't the right ones they should be promoting. I don't know. Because I've seen guys that say East of Scotland level, and can you've got your line judge offside and all that kind of stuff yourself. Some of the referees doing there are actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
Right? They would have been a lot better than that boy on Saturday. But it's just baffling.
And then I did get a text today. Obviously, some people will listen to this after the game against Bonnyrigg in the East of Scotland Cup. I did get a text today telling me that it's my mate that is the stand sidelinesman for that. So anyone who's there, if they feel like giving them some abuse, he can take it, to be fair, and you're more than welcome. So
I believe he's also refereeing our 20s match on Friday.
It seems.
And he's also the leader of the Scottish Conservative Party in the Scottish Parliament, at least, right? Is that the same guy?
Not quite yet.
No. Let's not be digressing too much on that. That could be a fucking issue.
Oh, Wee Dougie. Wee Dougie Four Jobs.
Bring back Dougie.
Although, to be fair to Wee Dougie Four Jobs, in terms of his performance when he was at Mendebank last season, a pretty good game. That's the only time you'll ever hear me praising a Tory. But there was something else you said before that Ali was going to pick up on. What did you say before the referee? I can't remember.
That's age. That's age, mate.
It was definitely not a day with me going clubbing on Saturday. I just sort of dropped in. It was another old day rave, which I wish I kind of had went to the whole day instead of going to Meadowbank, to be quite honest with you. Would have been a better use of my time. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. I've always support my club where I can. There was something you said. Oh, Christ.
If it comes back to you, you can maybe tweet it out.
Nah.
If anyone's listening, before the Bonnyrigg game, it'd be worth going along the East of Scotland Cup semi-final. Yes. I think it'd be interesting to see. You know, I think... Yeah, exactly. I think we'll see a mix of first-teamers and 20s, I think. Or it'll be interesting to see. I'm expecting to see And I think Bonnie Roy put a tweet as well saying that's what they're going to do. That's good. That'll be interesting to see. A bit of a test for some of the younger guys, if that is the case. But you know, a bit more support. One thing with the new managers, he does seem much keener than Maybury to introduce the under 20s. I think that's pretty clear. So that's good to see. You boys have seen them a lot more than I have, obviously. But from the small bits I've seen of the guys that have made the step up, they look like they can have maybe not play every week or anything like that, but certainly have an impact. So definitely looking forward to that.
Yes. Obviously I won't be there tomorrow. Because I'm at the opera. Just don't slide that in. Yeah. Just culturally enriching myself again. Obviously, but that's been booked for months and months and months. Unlike this football match that we've got, a week's notice? No, but to be fair, they've also reduced the prices. Clubs have agreed to reduce the price to get in. And under 12s go for free, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah,
good. Hopefully the Rosie Posey can bring a few through too. I mean, it's not exactly that far for Bonnerig, is it? So, anything you want to finish on, Rooney?
No, all good. Fingers crossed for hope the new manager does well, get a few more results, and we get some more optimism come here, which is good. Everything seems to be working well enough off the pitch, and the guys are doing a stellar job with everything they can do. Everything seems to be going well with things, so. The guys have done well. We've got a team on the pitch. We did say that at the start of the year, but it'd be nice to see like everybody was like a winning team. So, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. When you were talking about how the Stag do had enjoyed their day and they were praising the Edinburgh City Club and the staff for making them feel really welcome. That was me and Rooney.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Just to let everybody know
that
it was me and Rooney. That we made sure they had a great day. Right, the Belfield beer obviously was nice. The food and that was nice, but we were the ones to make sure they had a good day. We were the ones that kind of kept them right. We were the ones that entertained them. Right, so it's all on me and Rooney. Right.
Okay, I'll take that. Thanks.
I think that's fair, Rooney. I think that's fair.
That's a fair comment. Thanks.
The one thing I will say is apparently they stayed behind for quite a long time after the game.
Yeah.
Chairman John was holding court, but they were just enjoying themselves. They had some extra beer and that for the Belfield and.
Oh, very good.
All that kind of stuff. But they really enjoyed it. I think they're now following us on the Supporters Club account as well. So
it was
really positive. But as you say, Ali, it's one of those things, if that's a thing we can get more people doing, then that'd be great. I don't know then. Zas, that time to bid adieu, goodbye, good night.
Thanks,
right, okay then. So it's a goodbye for Mr. Rooney.
Goodbye. Enjoy your football, folks.
Good night for Mr. Moncrief.
Yeah, a good evening all.
That's a goodbye from me, the right Rev. Goodbye.